Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for an operating sound system. We glorify your name. Praise you, Jesus. Well, tonight is TH106, week number one, class number one. And as I shared before, this course dovetails with TH105. In TH105, we spent a lot of time focusing on the fact that every Christian has a ministry and that every Christian is responsible for developing that ministry. We focused on the fact that, like there in the Bible where it talks in Colossians, where it talks about, you know, to say to Archippus, take heed to your ministry. And that same thing could be said about us and to us today. We have a responsibility to take heed to the ministry that God has called us to and to fulfill that ministry. And if we don't do it, then we are really, it's hard to say anything other than the fact that we're being disobedient to God. But the great problem that's existed in the body of Christ is the fact that there's been so little teaching, I mean genuine scriptural teaching, about the various ministry gifts and offices. Because so many times, you'll find in churches and so forth, maybe even in seminars, Discover Your Gift seminar, and they'll pass out these little questionnaires, and you'll fill out the questionnaire, and highlight numbers or fill in little circles, and then you add the point totals, and whatever your point total is, and it corresponds to a certain calling, well, that's what you have. And you know, you could have 10, 15, 20, 30 different ministry callings depending upon the survey that you take. And in TH105, we covered the fact that that is not how you discover your ministry. And, to be kind of blunt about it, any church that does that to help people discover their ministry, that is wrong. And they are missing God. Because they are applying a method created by man. And it's really nothing more than a psychological survey. They're applying a method developed by man to try to help people discover something that's been established by God. The only way to truly discover what you're called to be, as far as your ministry is concerned, is to get in there with God and to spend time with Him, applying the things that we covered in TH105 so that you can discover the ministry calling that God has set aside for you. And if you try to pursue anything other than what's identified in Scripture as ministry callings, then you are pursuing something like a dog chasing your tail. Chasing its tail. I mean, you're just running in circles. You're not going to accomplish anything in the perfect will of God. Now, it doesn't mean you'll never do anything good for God. It just means that when it comes to you fulfilling what God's called you to fulfill, if it doesn't line up with Scripture, then it's not a ministry calling. Well, over the years, we've developed so many different kinds of ministry callings. And those ministry callings, all too often, are based upon what's happening in society. As society changes, then ministry callings change. I mean, 150 years ago, somebody could have said, well, I'm called to the ministry of, shoeing horses. Well, today, somebody might say, well, I'm called to the ministry of computer technician. Because society has changed, technology has changed, and so people come up with these new ministries. That's not the way it works. There are a lot of things that can be done and need to be done in this world, a lot of secular occupations and so on and so forth. But when it comes to ministry callings, those ministries are established in God's Word. The Bible says that Jesus never changes, and He's the one that God has given these gifts to us through. So if Jesus never changes, then those gifts, those ministry gifts, never change either. What's sad is that in so many churches, you'll have people recognized as, so-and-so, the such-and-such pastor. So-and-so, the such-and-such pastor. The children's snack time pastor. Or the nursery pastor, whatever. Or their ministry calling is, that of a groundskeeper. Just all different kinds of things. And so people, they hear that long enough, they begin to believe these things. And so they pursue the development of something that has not been established by God as a ministry. Well, you're getting people off track when you do that. And it's been my experience, maybe not everybody's, but it's been my experience that most churches are like this. They really don't understand the fullness of what the ministry callings are. They don't know how they operate. They might have a general idea. And they acknowledge a lot of other things that are not ministry callings. So in TH-105, we dealt with the issue of you have a calling. That calling, that ministry is identified in Scripture. God is the one who will help you come to the place of understanding it. And see, the very fact that they're identified in Scripture makes it a whole lot easier to find out what it is. Because it's not like you have this whole long list of things, and it's not like you have a whole lot of things that aren't even identified in Scripture. It's like you can go to the, God's Word and you can see, okay, here are the ministry callings. So it's like these are the only choices. Therefore, we've narrowed the field down considerably. So God, here we have this small little handful of ministry callings. Now, which one of these is mine, and how do I fulfill it? Well, you make things a lot easier on yourself with that kind of approach. So here in TH-106, we're going to really just pick up where we left off in TH-105 and continue forward with this. And the course objectives in TH-106 are to help students understand and define the purpose and function of each ministry office or ministry gift, ministry calling, and gift, as well as each of the gifts of the Spirit. So what we're going to do in this course is take a look at each one of the ministry gifts or the ministry callings, and we're also going to take a look at each one of the gifts of the Spirit. And we're going to not only identify, but we are going to define or explain how the callings operate and how the gifts of the Spirit operate. Because a lot of people believe that they are that their ministry is one of the gifts of the Spirit. I'm called to the ministry of prophecy. No, you're not. You may be called to the ministry of a prophet, but you're not called to the ministry of prophecy. The word of prophecy is that which is given by the Holy Spirit for a specific point in time. Well, I'm called to the ministry of word of knowledge. No, you're not. That is not a ministry. That is a gift of the Spirit. And as we go through this course, we are going to be identifying these and explaining why you can't be called to the ministry of a gift of the Holy Spirit, but you are called to a ministry calling. And there is a difference. A lot of people hearing this might wonder, well, how's there a difference? That's what we're going to talk about. Well, I've never heard there was a difference. And for that, I'm very sorry. Because pastors should know these things. Years ago, I didn't know these things. But I've grown into this understanding, and pastors should know. I mean, think about it. If a pastor is supposed to be shepherding the flock, one of the things we're supposed to be shepherding the flock into is the knowledge of the calling and what that calling is and how the gifts of the Spirit operate. Well, we'll get into that in more detail later on. Now, the credit value of this course is 3 credit hours. And the course text is, If You Were God, Would You Choose You? And the author is Rick Renner. Now, that book has gone through a revision since we first started using it, and I think the title of it may have changed, but it's the same book. And I think what they did, they added, I think in this book they may have added some questions at the end of each chapter or some additional comments by Rick Renner, but it's the same book. It's just restyled and the cover's different and so on and so forth. Now, the course requirements do the following, and the grand total for all of this is 25 points. You have to read both the textbook and textbook and scriptures in their entirety. And you have to read the books of 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus in the King James. And it has to be read. You can't listen to it on a CD or tape or whatever. And if you're a correspondence student, you also have to listen to every class tape prior to taking the exam. And number 2, you have to write a 10-page paper using the textbook, Bible, syllabus, any class notes. And if the paper is handwritten, it must be printed 20 pages long, skipping every other line. And you are to describe how you will be fulfilling your ministry calling. Now, this could be something along the lines of a vision statement for your ministry. And in the business world, they might refer to this as a business plan, if that helps you understand this a little bit better. And you write it as though you're trying to explain to someone else the purpose and goals of your ministry. You can include how you project you will be operating in your calling in the next 5 years, 10 years, so on and so forth. Now, this is very important. You may not know all of these things at the present time. So you will be writing what you think or hope will be happening. Do not worry if you're wrong. This assignment is to get you focusing on what God has called you to do. And I really want to emphasize, don't worry about, well, I don't know all these things. It's okay. You have to start somewhere. You have to. And let me give you an example from the construction world. I remember many years ago, I worked with a home builder. And some of the homes that we built were very big, very large, and very expensive. Well, for the home to be built, you had to start with architectural drawings. Before you even start digging the hole for the foundation, you have to have the architectural drawings. And those are called blueprints. So you would have the very basic fundamental architectural drawing. And in some cases, that's called the elevation. I don't know why they refer to it and all that, but like that. But nevertheless, here you have these blueprints. Now what happens is, as you look at the blueprints, the builder or the homeowner may say, but this is wrong here. And so the architect will have to go back later and change the blueprints. In some cases, and I've seen this happen before, the architects draw the blueprints backwards. In other words, the house is flipped. The garage is supposed to be on the left side, but they've got it on the right side. The restroom is on the, bathroom is on the right side, it's supposed to be on the left side. And they have to flip the drawing because they misread or misunderstood what was happening. What's really bad is when you start building the house and the construction people flip the blueprints. Then you've got a real mess on your hands, especially if the inspector shows up and says, excuse me, this is all wrong. You don't want that kind of hassle. But what I'm getting at is, most Christians have never sat down and done what you're going to do in this course. Most Christians have never taken the time to sit down and write out a blueprint, if you will, for their ministry. They've just never, the thought of doing such a thing has never occurred to them. It's kind of like over in Habakkuk. It says, you know, write the vision, make it plain that he that reads it, you know, may understand what it's saying. You know, paraphrase there. Well, you're writing this blueprint for your ministry. And the reason that this is so valuable is because to do this, you're actually going to have to sit down and give some very concentrated thought and, you know, pray about it, obviously, concerning your calling. And God will begin to reveal things to you, especially if you apply what we've been teaching so far in this school and what we covered in TH-105. So God will begin to speak to you and give you ideas, give you concepts, give you instructions and so forth about your ministry calling. You put these things down in writing, and you won't have all the details. As I stand here before you right now, I still don't have all the details of my ministry for the next year, 10 years, 15, I don't know. God continues to reveal things to me in an ongoing fashion. Same thing will be true for you. But you have to start somewhere. That's why it's not, you don't want to worry about being wrong. You just want to start. Because you're going to change this as time goes on. You'll add to this. But quite frankly, this is going to be one of the most important papers that you'll write, because it's you sitting down and finally giving some real thought to what God has called you to do and putting in writing the directions and instructions that he has given to you. And you may say, yeah, but I mean, I know so little about it that I don't even know if I could fill one page. Well, that's okay. What you do is you sit down and you begin writing what you would like to do. Yeah, but how do I know that what I like to do is what God wants me to do? That's not what we're worried about at the moment. What we're worried about is getting the wheels turning, okay? You start out and you just write down, well, I believe I'm called to be an evangelist. Okay? Then you write your paper from the perspective of being an evangelist. Well, what do you think you're going to do? How do you think it's going to be fulfilled? Are you going to operate out of your home, or are you going to have an office outside the home? Are you going to have a big building like some, major evangelists have? You know, I mean, just huge buildings to house everything that's going on. Are you going to be writing books? Are you going to have a tape ministry involved with this, or a CD ministry? Do you sing? If you sing, will your singing be a part of your evangelism calling? All of these different things, see, you begin to write this down. And obviously, if you believe you're called to be a prophet, you write it from that perspective. But you can begin to write these things down. And maybe you think, well, I'm going to start off by ministering in my own home church. Okay, now, hint, that's not going to happen if you don't go talk to your pastor about your calling. I mean, your pastor's not going to just walk up to you someday and say, all right, you preach next Sunday night. You have to start within the home church, at least the communication aspect of it. Okay, now, so you say, well, I'm going to start off in my home church. I think that within the first eight months, you know, I'll preach in another church or, you know, whatever it would be. But you're putting something down in writing. Now, 3 months from now, you may go back and look at this and say, oh, man, this is all wrong. Well, that's all right. Because the only way you'll know that's wrong is if you've been spending time with God and He's giving you further instructions about what you're called to do. And you say, well, I'll have to rewrite it. That's okay. You rewrite it. That's perfectly all right. This is to help you get started really in the identification and fulfillment of what God's called you to do. So this is a very important paper to write. Don't get exasperated because you don't know everything at this point. Now, the reason I'm kind of belaboring this issue is because over the years, we've had students say, I can't write this paper. They say, well, why not? I don't know this and I don't. It's okay. Don't worry about what you don't know. Write about what you do know and what you think will happen or what you hope will happen as far as your ministry is concerned. That's all. It's just to get you started. And the paper's worth 25 points. And number three, there will be an open book, open syllabus, open Bible exam given at the end of the course, and the value for that will be 50 points. And again, for the correspondence students, do not open the exam or take the exam until after you've listened to all of the classes. Now, we're going to, as I mentioned, pick up where we left off the last time. Now, if you remember in week four of TH 105, we were talking about the ministry callings. And we went through this little chart that identified the ministry callings. And at that time, I shared with you that we're going to go over this again in more detail. But what we want to do at this point is introduce them to you so you'll have more to pray about and so forth. Okay, now what we're going to do starting tonight is go through and look at these in more detail. Now, God, not man, names and defines ministries. This is extremely critical. God, not man, names and defines ministries. So somebody could say, well, I'm called to be an electrician. Well, how did you get that? Well, it's what I do. It's how I earn my money. Okay, well, that's your occupation. But how did you know that your ministry calling is electrician? Well, because, all right, show me where God revealed that to you. Help me understand from Scripture how this was confirmed to you. Now, you're going to find it. There's no such thing as electrician in Scripture. God, not man, names and defines ministries. So therefore, if you focus on that, you can eliminate a lot of teaching that's out there when it comes to find your ministry and calling. Here, take this personality profile, you know, circle the numbers that correspond to how you feel and your answers and what you do and so forth. And then at the end, we'll add up the numbers and your point totals will be who you are. Well, 3 months from now, we'll give you that exam again. And who knows what you'll be? Because your feelings will determine a lot of what you circle or the circles that you fill in with the pencil. Feelings have nothing to do with what God's called you to. Whatever your ministry is, your feelings don't matter. In other words, God says, look, here's the calling for you. You're going to be able to do this because I would not have established a calling for you. I would not have given you this ministry if I didn't think you could do this. But I know you can do it. So it really doesn't matter what you think about yourself and whether or not you think you can do it. It's a matter of me, God, creator of the universe, looking at you and knowing you can do this. So that's why this ministry is yours. This is why we have to stay true to God's word when it comes to identifying and knowing how to fulfill our calling. God has given us the names of the various ministries that He has established. They're all in Scripture. There's nothing vague about this whatsoever. Now, in three New Testament books, God identifies the ministries He has established. And they're all right in here. Now, we looked at this the last time, but again, this week, TH 106, week number one, first class, we're going to start in more detail with this. In each of these three books, He uses the term grace in conjunction with the term gifts. Now, let's look at this. And I put this in print to make it easier so you're not flipping the pages in your Bible back and forth so much and maybe getting where it can be a little confusing. 1 Corinthians Ephesians and Romans are the three books in which God identifies the ministry callings that He has established for the body of Christ. And again, He uses the term grace in conjunction with the term gifts in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 4 through 7. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have gift and grace together in this passage. Ephesians 4:7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Well, if you look in, again there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he talks about thanking God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Well, Ephesians 4:7. Grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, Romans 12:6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. So, again, gift and grace are associated here in the same thing. In the same passage. So that right there should clue us in that something's going on as far as grace and gifts are concerned. Well, we've already talked about that to a certain degree. But in each of these three books, God refers to our being a part of the body of Christ. Now look at this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 13 and verse 27. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. In Ephesians 4:4, there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Romans 12, verses 4 through 5. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Now I think you can see at this point a pattern is developing here in this. How that these aren't the exact same words, but the same message is being conveyed. Gifts and grace. Body, members of the body, and so forth. Well, God continues. And in each of these three books, He goes on to identify each ministry gift He has established in the church. Now, this is the chart that you saw the last time we were together. But we're going to go over it again because of this pattern that we're seeing, that we're identifying in Scripture. Now, these ministry gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12:28, it identifies the apostles. Ephesians 4:11 through 12, it identifies apostles. But in Romans 12, verses 6 through 8, it's the word ruleth. And this word ruleth corresponds to the apostle. Now, later on tonight, we're going to explain why this is so. In 1 Corinthians 12:28, prophets. Ephesians 4:11 through 12, prophets. Romans 12:6 through 8, prophecy. 1 Corinthians 12:28, miracles. Ephesians 4:11 through 12, evangelists. And the term evangelist and miracles correspond to each other. And later on, when we're identifying the ministry of the evangelist and defining what the evangelist does, we'll explain why this is so. In Romans 12:6 through 8, the word exhorteth is used for the evangelist. Now, this word exhorteth, it comes from a Greek word which means to call to one side, to call with the intent of producing a particular response. Now, think about what the evangelist does. The evangelist preaches the gospel and desires to produce a response from the people. Now, what response is that he's looking for? For people to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He is exhorting the people with the Word of God, ye must be born again. Preaching and explaining why. And trying to get them, to lead them to the place of making a decision to accept Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 12:28, gifts, plural, of healings, plural. And this is different, very different. From the 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, gifts, plural, of healing, singular. It's not just physical, but it's also emotional healing and recovery. This gifts, plural, of healings, plural. And this corresponds with the pastors over in Ephesians 4, 11 through 12. Because the pastor has the responsibility of ministering to the people. The pastor is the shepherd. And this will become more clear when we're explaining the ministry calling of the pastor, what he is and is not supposed to do. Now in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, the ministry of the pastor is identified in verse 8 by the phrase, he that showeth mercy. Now in the Greek, this phrase means one who shows pity, compassion, and extends grace in part for restoration and recovery. In other words, gifts, plural, of healings, plural. Now in Romans 12, verse 28, we see the word helps, this ministry of helps. Now this word helps is from the Greek word antilipsis, and it means literally the receiving of remuneration for the purpose of rendering assistance. The word remuneration means money. So why did they put money? I have no idea. But they use this big fancy. I guess, you know, when you're writing dictionaries, you have to use big words. I don't know. Must be some requirement out there. The receiving of remuneration. So the ministry of helps has to do, and I'll say it this way, more clarity will come later on, but a person who's called to the ministry of helps is called to the ministry of making money. And they will make money to help fund the spread of the gospel. One of the most tragic things in the body of Christ has been a teaching, basically a poverty mentality teaching, where Christians aren't supposed to have anything. It's almost like they look down on Christians who do have a lot of money. And then they look at the pastor as the one who's supposed to do everything, to raise all the money. And in some cases, there are churches that absolutely refuse to pay the pastor for full-time work, to be able to be a full-time pastor, to leave secular occupation, even though the church has plenty of money to do this. They expect the pastor to go out and be like everybody else and work a job. Well, one of the ways that the ministry of helps operates is to help the pastor to not have to spend all of his time ministering on a secular occupation when he's supposed to be in the presence of the shepherd of shepherds, being spiritually equipped to minister to the sheep of the flock. And when we get into the ministry of the pastor, we'll explain this a little bit more. But in Ephesians 4, 11 through 12, the phrase, the work of the ministry, corresponds with the ministry of helps. In Romans 12, verses 6 through 8, verse 8, the phrase, he that giveth, corresponds to the ministry of helps. Now in 1 Corinthians 12:28, we also have the ministry of governments. In Ephesians 4, 11 through 12, what corresponds to that is the work of the ministry. In Romans chapter 12, verse 7, it's the word ministry. In the Greek, that word ministry means serviceable labor, assistance. It's a business-related term. Now, we'll get into the government's aspect of ministry later on. But a person who's in governments, they have an uncanny ability to organize. In other words, we have a project, we need to accomplish it. The person in governments knows exactly how to do it. They spend some time in prayer, and God, it's like God gives them every rung in the ladder of this project being successful. The pastor, all too often in churches, the pastor is expected to do everything. The pastor isn't supposed to do everything. And again, we'll talk about that later on when we explain to basically give a job description of the pastor. And then diversities of tongues. In 1 Corinthians 12:28, diversities of tongues. In Ephesians 4, 11 through 12, in verse 12, it's for the edifying of the body of Christ. And the reason that that corresponds to the diversities of tongues is because of what we've learned about praying in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 2 through 4, when we pray in tongues, we're edifying ourselves. So this gift has been given for the edification of the body of Christ. In Romans chapter 12, this whole aspect of tongues is identified. Well, actually, it's in Romans chapter 8. It's prior to chapter 12. Romans 8, verses 26 through 28. And I shared with you last time how that in Romans, chapters 9, 10, and 11 are almost like a parenthetical statement. Paul is writing and teaching from chapter 1 through chapter 8. And then it's like he realizes that there might be some Jews getting really concerned about what all is happening here and not understanding things very well. So it's like he starts talking in chapters 9, 10, and 11 about the Jews and about what all is happening, going into more detail about this whole concept of, you know, Jesus Christ being the Messiah for both Jew and Gentile. Then in chapter 12, it's like he picks back up where he left off in the end of chapter 8. And I shared with you how that, go back and read Romans chapters 6, 7, and 8, and then go immediately to chapter 12 and pick up reading. And it's a perfect flow. It just goes right together. It's amazing. Well, all of these are the ministry gifts that God has established. Apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues, and the pastor. Now, in this, what we have is a structure that God's established for the body of Christ. These are the ministry callings. Now, think of it like this. Let's say you want to go to work for a company. And you walk into that company and you say, okay, I'd like to apply for a job. And they say, well, here's what we have. We have door maker. That's available. We have widget maker. That's available. We have parking lot paver. That's available. We have concrete maker. That is available. And they identify like 6, 7, 8 different jobs that are open. And you say, well, no, really, I'd rather be a brain surgeon. And they look at you and they say, well, you know, we don't have brain surgeons here. This is a construction company. We don't have brain surgeons. You say, yeah, but I want to be a brain surgeon. They say, well, if you want to be a brain surgeon, you have to go somewhere else. But if you're going to work here, the only options you have is what we have available. Likewise, we go to God, say, okay, God, I'm ready. I'm going to be in ministry. I'm going to serve you, and I'm going to do everything I can to fulfill my ministry. And God says, okay, that's great. So let's get to it. And you say, all right, now, God, first thing I need to know from you is, what is my ministry? He says, well, here are the ministry callings I have established in the church. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, helps governments. You say, well, okay, but you know what? I want to be worship leader. That's what I want my ministry to be. And God says, well, I do need worship leaders in the church, but that's not a ministry calling. You say, oh, no, God, now hold on there. I know that there are people all over the world that are serving full-time in their churches as worship leaders. Therefore, I know it's a ministry calling. God says, well, you're right that there are a lot of people serving full-time, on staff, paid staff in their churches as worship leaders. But that's not a ministry calling that I've established. Yeah, but God, no, now, God, I'm not trying to argue with you here, but the thing is, you're wrong. And God says, now let's think about this. I'm God, you're not. I've established these callings, you haven't. I wrote the Bible, you didn't. Now, in the Bible, I've identified apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, helps, governments as ministry callings. So, you're one of those. You're not anything else. Well, God, gee whiz, I don't know what to think about this. I've never heard it like that. God says, that's not my fault. It's been in my word the whole time. People have added to my word. And it just, I mean, it's really, this is not too different than what the Pharisees did. And the priests, and so, they added to God's word. And Jesus at times would confront them over this. How that, you know, it's the law says such and such, but you say this, and you've said that, and you teach this, and so forth. And he confronted them, and how that they had added to God's word. Well, what's happened today? Same kind of thing. We've added to God's word. God says, look, you've got apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, helps, governments. I mean, here they are. Yeah, but we also have worship leader. We also have associate pastor. We also have nursery worker. We also have bishop. We also have deacon. We also have elder. We also have, and the list goes on and on. And God says, gee whiz, I didn't know I'd messed up so bad. Because I thought I had established this list. This is it. It's a short list. Well, if we stay true to what God has established and eliminate what man's established, we're going to be fulfilling what He's called us to do. And He says, look, you come to me, you said you wanted to know what you're called to be. You said you want to fulfill your ministry, and so here it is. It's one of these. Okay, well, God, which one is it? He says, you're going to have to spend some more time in prayer. Because the first thing you needed to know is that these are all the ministry callings I've established in the church. You're going to have to get past all the traditions that you've been taught, which say that there are 15 or 20 other ministry callings. And there aren't. It's only what I've established in my word. Now, here's what's amazing. I've taught these things before, and it's just like tonight, I put this chart right here. Here's the scripture. This God's words right here, okay? And we've explained how each of these three books identifies the same ministry gifts. They just use, in some cases, different names or terms to describe that gift or to identify that gift. So it's right here in God's word. And yet there are people out there who refuse to accept this. In fact, what's amazing is that I've taught this before. I mean, over the years, taught these things. And then there are people that have heard the teaching. And then they come back and they say, well, I'm called to the ministry of healing. As in, lay hands on people and get them healed. There is no such ministry of healing. It's not in here. There is a gift of healing administered by the Holy Spirit. There is Mark chapter 16, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. But there is no ministry calling of healing. But Brother Martin, it's got to be wrong. I mean, what about Oral Roberts? You know, and I mean, back in the 50s, man, in the like the late 40s and 50s, into the early part of the 60s and so forth. I mean, these big tents and the healing evangelists would come. Well, hold on there. What did you just say? I said the big tents, the 40s, 50s, and 60s. And these healing evangelists, these what? You see what I mean? You're identifying them without realizing what you're doing, and you're focusing on the healing aspect and thinking that's a ministry when it's not. So people look at this, and you pray for some people, and they get healed, and you think, by golly, I'm called to the ministry of healing. And God says, no, you're not. You're called to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, but that's not a ministry calling. Here are the ministry callings. They're right here. And so I think you guys are really starting maybe to catch on how that there is so much confusion in the body of Christ about this. And pastors, you know, they're trying their best to serve God. They really are. They love Jesus. It's just that if they've been taught wrong, they continue to teach wrong. So we're not trying to slam people, but what we're saying, what we're identifying, kind of like two things right here. We're identifying what the gifts really are, the ministry callings, what they really are. We're also identifying how there's been so much wrong teaching in the body of Christ about this. Now, in each of these books, 1 Corinthians, Ephesians, and Romans, in each of these books, after God has identified each of the ministry callings, He follows it up with a discussion of love. In 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 8, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, that word charity basically means the love of God in action, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not the love of God in operation, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not seem or behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity, the love of God in action, never faileth. Then in Ephesians chapter 4, after identifying the ministry gifts, callings, he continues on and says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect or fully mature spiritual person, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Then in Romans chapter 12, immediately after identifying the ministry gifts, he continues on in verse 9 and says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. So what you see here is a consistent pattern in all three of these books. There's no contradiction. It's the same thing. He talks about the gifts, associates them with grace. He begins identifying the fact that we're all a part of the body of Christ. He goes on and identifies the ministry gifts. Then he follows that up with a discussion of love. It's the same thing in each one of the these three books. Therefore, it should not present a challenge to anyone's theology to accept the truth that in 1 Corinthians, Ephesians, and Romans, God is referring to the same areas of ministries and callings. And once again, the term ministry, the term calling, same thing as far as this teaching is concerned. What is your ministry? Well, my ministry is this. Well, what's your calling? I don't know. No, your ministry calling. Your calling to ministry, okay? I mean, we're talking about the same thing here. So we want to avoid and eliminate any confusion concerning those terms. We could also throw in, what is your ministry gift? Because Jesus gave gifts unto men, apostle, prophet, etc., and so forth. So your ministry gift, your ministry calling, your ministry, your calling. I mean, basically we're talking about the same thing, not to be confused with the gifts of the Spirit, a totally different category of an operation of God, something that we will get into later on in this course and identify those gifts. Now, in 1 Corinthians, Ephesians, and Romans, what makes these references unique is that God is both identifying ministry callings and giving us a partial description of each of them. So what we find is not just apostle, but there in Romans, it's the term he that ruleth. So that gives us a bit of an insight about what the apostle is supposed to do. And we're going to be talking about that later. Right now, let's go ahead and take a break before we get into this next section. Don't want to have to cut it off in the wrong spot. So come back in 10 minutes and we'll pick up here and continue on.